It's a new day. At the Freedom Station, WFYL is working for your liberty, presenting news with no spin.
Thought-provoking, a local commentary. Your opinion matters.
Put the power back in the hands of the people.
Endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's a new day.
Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. I want to mention once again to our listeners that you can listen to us online at 1180WFYL.com where we are streaming. We've got some streaming listeners right now today, which is good because we have here today with us, we've been talking with Carol Metzger and Jordan Kerwin. We have another guest joining us right now. Who is, I believe, Kim Chekai. We're talking about a lot of things, but one of the things that we have not really dived into yet is SB 75. It's a proposed legislation, if I'm not mistaken, of something that could be done. So what do we know about SB 75, and what should our listeners know?
I'll take this in, Andrew. It's Carol again. Pennsylvania Senate Bill 75 is a proposed law that would, in a sense, put human trafficking back on the law books of Pennsylvania. Right now, and supposedly because we thought we had this problem of human trafficking, modern slavery, licked back in the 1800s after the Civil War, we don't have a good definition of human trafficking on our law books. Therefore, we can't prosecute. Senate Bill 75 is up for, it's gone through the House, it's now in the House, it's passed the Senate and now is going through the House. And what the purpose of this is to have a comprehensive law on the books that deals with prosecution, which means you've got a good definition, it tells you what the punishments will be for the crime. It deals with provisions for victims. What happens after they've been rescued? How are we going to help them? And then, of course, it deals with, of course, protection. How do we protect our children, as we've been talking about today? Yeah. How do we protect our children, our, you know, women and men, against this crime? This the proposed SB 75 addresses this.
Well, that's great. So there's preventative measures as well as what happens after the fact. You know, we were talking with Jen Sensig. She's saying that they're building a whole new facility. You know, facility. It's a house that houses about 7 to 10 women. Something like that. You know, in the hands of the state, something like that with enough money behind it. You know, 7 to 10 women. We've been talking about upwards of 300,000 children possibly in the United States.
Well, so. And you know, I was listening to what you were saying about with the state. And reflecting on the fact that since the Civil War, they didn't feel they didn't need anything on that because of the slavery issue itself, and the state never addressed it. I feel that's a failing in the state when you look at it, because there is a law in the book. It's called the 13th Amendment of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Let me read a part of it. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crimes, whereas the penalty shall be have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States. There it is. There it is. Why didn't Pennsylvania act on the 13th Amendment? Because they looked at it as a federal thing? Constitution covers all the states as well. So my question goes in, why the inadequacy of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to address the issue of slavery, even though, the Constitution has an amendment for it?
Well, there is a law against human trafficking in Pennsylvania, and it's labor trafficking. Okay, and there were actually a few cases where they were able to prosecute pimps for labor trafficking, but in human trafficking, there's labor trafficking and sex trafficking. So Pennsylvania doesn't have a law against sex trafficking, essentially. So Senate Bill 75, like you said, is very comprehensive, and it's going to add the definition of sex trafficking in Pennsylvania, along with prosecuting buyers, prosecuting pimps. It's also going to mandate education to police officers, because right now I don't think there's mandated education on human trafficking. And I know in our areas, around here, a lot of the police are actually being mandated by their local agencies or counties to get training on this. And in Berks County, our detectives have had training. And tomorrow there's a training in Lehigh where a lot of service providers will be there. But, yes, Senate Bill 75 was actually created by service providers, people working with the victims, police officers, and I think they spent quite a few years on putting together Senate Bill 75, and it's going to expire at the end of this year if they don't pass it. So it's really important that we pass this. It's a 75 or 71-page bill, and there are some bills in the House, too, on human trafficking, but they're not really comprehensive is basically that main word that we're using, where it's only like a couple pages where it says sex trafficking is a thing, and that's basically it. Senate Bill 75, it's really important that we pass this year. Otherwise, it will expire, because we need education, we need housing, we need all these things that this bill is going to provide.
Well, then that begs the question that I have for our guests. If you know, since it's been there for a while, it's going to expire. Do we know the exact progress of that bill as we speak right now?
Right now, it's expected to go up for a vote in June. And actually, I think this is something that listeners could really get involved in. You asked a question of, well, you know, why haven't we done this in the past? We can't correct the past.
Exactly.
All we can do is move forward.
Yeah.
But every listener out there could call their local Pennsylvania representative and say, hey, I really think this is important. Please pass this law. You know, get it up for a vote in June, and talk to their legislators about it, their elected officials.
Sure.
They are here to do what we as citizens ask them to do.
Yeah,
and they'll help.
Bruce's eyes just got very wide, because we always talk here about how these are your employees. They do what you elected them to do. And if you want somebody to, if you want somebody to know about an issue that you're passionate about, you need to give them a call, because they won't know. You know, there's a criticism of saying, well, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. Well, did you ever call and or make it known that that's what you wanted? You know, they don't know what they don't know. So let them know is something that you support.
But not to go on a tangent about our employees that we hire to go into the state house and the fact, we need to let them know their progress, what they're doing, all that. However, they need to report back to us and have such situations where they can report back to us to establish venues.
Mm.
Because not many people will call, but they will go to a quote-unquote town hall meeting.
Sure.
And that. So it's not, not just them going to the fact that, they need to know, how they need to know. They need to participate in the process as well and not think that they're going to guide how you participate in their process.
Well, I think this is, anybody would see that this is, an effective, thing. This is something that we need here in Pennsylvania. But why are some of the reasons that you think we may not have it? And I think we've kind of touched on some of them, but it's always good to reiterate the fact that, there are a lot of misconceptions about this. Personally, I have, I've mentioned a few of them without even noticing that I've mentioned them. What are some of the big misconceptions about this? And we'll kind of go into this, and we'll continue it into our next segment. But is there a lot of misconceptions surrounding sex trafficking and human trafficking? Was that a misconception right there that I uttered?
Well, before we run out of time, I just really want to hit something.
Absolutely.
Coalition Against Trafficking of Pennsylvania, which is Chester County's Coalition Against Human Trafficking. On their website, it's ccatofpa.org. Okay. If you want to call your House representative, or if you want to send a letter to your House representative, there is a template there. It will tell you a little bit about Senate Bill 75, and you can basically sign it and send it into your House representative or make a phone call. And it'll basically make you sound like a professional and know what you're talking about when you're talking about this bill. You don't want to just call and say, pass it. And the biggest thing with this bill right now, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, where all of the House representatives will say they're going to vote for this bill.
Yeah.
Okay? Of who's going to vote against slavery, you know?
Exactly.
But it's not going to come to a vote, most likely, is kind of what they've been saying. Because I went to Harrisburg April 1st, legislation, like, to push this bill through, you know. And there's about 70 people from 19 coalitions against around Pennsylvania. And a lot of the House representatives hinted, well, we're going to vote for it. And some of them were saying, I don't know, even know why this is an issue and why it's not being pushed through. And then some of them were saying, well, we're not going to ever bring it to a vote, possibly. Because there's other things that we're focusing on.
Oh, wait a minute. We're talking children again.
Yeah.
I can't stress that one enough. I mean, for an elected official to say something like that is irresponsible, because we're talking children here.
Well, that website one more time, if you want to, you know, kind of makes it easy for you to let your state representatives know. And that was CCAT.
It's www.ccatofpa.org. And you click on legislation, and right there you'll see the template, and you can copy and paste it, or you can give them a phone call. You can even click on who your state representative is if you're not quite sure. And, I mean, I've sent a lot of letters in, or had people send a lot of letters in, and you'll get a response saying, you know, thank you for this letter. But we really need to push our representatives to bring this to a vote versus voting for it to bring it to a vote. That's really what we need to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to head to a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be continuing our conversation with Carol Jordan and now Kim as well. So stay with us, folks. Welcome back to It's a Due Day here at 1180 WFYL. We've been chatting all morning about human trafficking and how it is modern-day slavery. And we have another guest joining us right now. We've been talking to Carol Metzger and Jordan Curlin. But now we have Kim Chekai here, who's going to talk to us a little bit about the organizations that she's representing this morning. So, Kim, thank you so much for being able to join us this morning. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having us here this morning. We appreciate it.
So now, you are the president of the Truth for Women Center?
Yes, that is correct.
And My Sister's Closet?
Yes.
So why don't we start off with Truth for Women Center? What is the Truth for Women Center?
Truth for Women is a faith-based nonprofit organization where our mission is to transform women from the inside out by confronting life issues through support, education, and advocacy. And we do that, we fulfill that mission in a couple of different areas. One is life enrichment, which we empower women by teaching them self-management and just basic life skills. Another way we do that is mentor program, where we have a person who is going through a crisis situation. Whatever that crisis situation may be, maybe she was raped, she's depressed, is going through a divorce, financial situation. Whatever that may be, we have trained mentors who will work with her one-on-one for however long she needs in order to get her the resources and the help for her to get out of that crisis situation. We also have support groups where women are facing similar challenges. We've had support group for sexual abuse, support group for depression, anxiety, you name it. We also have My Sister's Closet, which is really a funding source for the Truth for Women Center and the soon-to-be Truth Home. It's an upscale resale boutique where women can come, get great clothing at a great price, which is a resale. And we also have brand new jewelry, scarves, and those kind of things. But just recently, in the past 4 years, what really began to happen was our eyes began to open in regard to the area of trafficking. So the new initiative that we, Truth for Women has been around for the past 14 years, but the new initiative that we've taken on over the past 4 years is trafficking. And for me personally, I was very clueless to what trafficking was. I thought a prostitute was a prostitute. I thought that she made that decision and that was something that she wanted to do. And about 4 years ago, my eyes started to open pretty clearly in that area. And just to be honest with you, for me, it was extremely difficult to hear the things that these little girls and these women would go through, because it was something that broke my heart. Like, my heart has never been broken before, nor have I ever seen evil the way I have seen evil and what is done to these precious girls and these precious women. So for me personally, it was very difficult to even think about stepping into this arena, because it was such a painful thing to see and to watch. But as we begin to open those doors, as we began to read, as we began to do the research, as we began to go through the training, lo and behold, at that exact moment in time, there was a local coalition in the Lehigh Valley that was forming, which is called VAST, Valley Against Sex Trafficking. So at that moment in time, about 4 years ago, we partnered, we brought VAST under our 501c3, and we began to focus on four very specific areas in regard to the area of trafficking. One was awareness. For us personally, the biggest problem we have in the area of trafficking is awareness and education. We are very naive of what trafficking is. We are very naive that it is happening behind our closed doors. We're naive that it's in our community. It is everywhere. It's not just in the big cities. It is everywhere. And in order for us to be able to educate and bring awareness, we have to begin to train and educate not only law enforcement, judges, prosecuting attorneys. We need to educate service providers. We need to educate lay people. We need to educate the schools. We need to get into legislation. We need to get into the churches. We need to build that awareness. Last year in 2013, we trained or had awareness or educational trainings to over 65 different community members, including law enforcement. For us, that was a really big key indicator, was to begin to train law enforcement to think differently than how they have thought all these years in regard to the area of trafficking. We also work on prevention, identifying at-risk population, and focusing on how to strengthen local efforts, how to bring more opportunities for educate, acknowledging, establishing efforts to reduce the demand in this industry. The United States of America fuels the sex industry worldwide. That's huge. And that's horrible. So in the United States, we fuel all the billions of dollars in regard to sex industry. So we have got to begin to prevent that. We've got to begin to reduce that, because if we stop the Johns, if we put heavier crimes against the Johns, that demand begins to lessen. We also work on action. And the biggest thing that we're working on is aftercare. Truth for Women has recently purchased a home for that we are renovating in order to open to be able to have a home for women, that a very specialized home because of the trauma that the women have gone through. So right now, as we're receiving victims, we have no place to put them. We have to send them somewhere out of the state because we have no place to be able to place them that specializes in regard to this trauma. So recently we have purchased a home. We are under renovations and we are under getting the funding to be able to open those doors, hopefully in September or October, because right now we're working with Homeland Security. We already have victims and we have no place to put them, which is one of the most heartbreaking areas for us. We've had the privilege over the past 3 years to be trained by Wellspring in Atlanta, Georgia. They have been running a home for women and for children over the past 14 years. So we've had the privilege to be trained by them for the past 3 years. We've learned their mistakes. We know what works. We know what doesn't work. And our home is really going to mimic and really follow what they have done. But the great thing about our home, it is very specific and very individualized recovery plan. What do I mean by that? We can't just put a girl in a cookie cutter situation and say, if you do A, B, C, D, and E, this is what's going to happen. In our home, we're going to work one-on-one, very individualized, based on the girl's needs. Some of these women that we've met were sold at the age of 2, 4, and 5. We are talking about a 2-year-old who has been sold, who has been raped, who has been tortured thousands of times every single year. Now she's over the age of 18, and she's expected to get over it. She's expected to make good choices. How you handle her recovery and how you handle a woman who maybe have gotten into it because she has a drug addiction, and then she gets under the control of a pimp. You're going to handle that recovery very different between the two women. So that's the important thing about our home, is being able to make sure that we have that individualized recovery plan for each woman. What we're also going to do is we're going to have two different metric systems to be able to monitor the success of each woman. Each woman is going to come in and she's going to be assessed when she enters the program based on self-worth, her confidence, her ability to hold a job, whether she has addictions. Those self-assessments are going to be completed after 3, 6, 9 month intervals. The other metric system that we're going to use is their level of addiction, the number of relapses, the number of women that are able to hold down a job, whether they're able to come back to their family. those type of things. So we really believe that by implementing these two metric systems, we're going to be able to identify and see each woman's level of success and then be able to apply that to the needs that she has and how she can fit back into community, because trying to get them back into the community, into life, is one of the most difficult things that we have seen.
Oh, absolutely. And I think we've been talking a lot about, you know, homes like this today, you know, things that people can do to help. And once again, that number for the national hotline is 1-888-373-7888, or you can text 233-733. And I believe you can text anything to that, Carol, and it'll, you know.
You text info or help.
Info or help. Perfect.
And, yeah, the texting has actually been a blessing, because it's only been around for about a year now, and they've saw an increase in texting from victims to the hotline versus calling.
I would say it's a little bit more covert. So I think, you know, that's better for them. Guys, we do have to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be kind of going, you know, again, more into this issue and everything like that. So we will continue with that after the break. So stay with us. It's a new day. And welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, where we've been spending the entire day so far. We've been talking about human trafficking. And I've been throwing around a couple of different words. Sex trafficking, human trafficking, things like that. And I really want to dive into what are the definitions of what we're talking about today. So, Jordan, could you give us a kind of, you know, what are we talking about specifically?
Definitely. We've been talking for a while and we didn't even go over the definitions.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the federal definitions of these different things. So human trafficking, what is it? Sex trafficking is in which a commercial sex act is induced by force, fraud, or coercion, or in which the person induced to perform such act has not attained 18 years of age. So what that's basically saying is someone is being forced, or someone says, hey, you can make a lot of money. The fraud, you know, like, you're going to have a good life with me. You don't really have a fatherly figure, but I'll take you under my wing and I'll show you all the great things that there are in this world. And it's very easy for people to buy into the fraud. And if someone is under the age of 18, force, fraud, or coercion doesn't need to happen in order for it to be defined as human trafficking or sex trafficking. So if someone under the age of 18 is performing sex acts, it can actually be defined as human trafficking, actually. I'm going to go further on with this definition. The recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or obtaining of a person for labor or services through the use of force, fraud, or coercion for the purpose of subjection to involuntary servitude, peonage, debt, bondage, or slavery. So that's more talking about the definition of labor trafficking. There's some misconceptions between human trafficking, sex trafficking, and then human smuggling also. Hmm. Where human smuggling is defined as the importation of people into the United States involving deliberate evasion of immigration laws. So you can actually have a human, like, you can actually smuggle someone into the U.S., but once you start forcing them into working, you know, debt bondage, servitude, involuntary servitude, or forcing them into sex, that's where it becomes human trafficking.
Yeah, and I think those definitions are really important to know, because now we know, you know what you're looking at. You know what you're talking about. And even then, it's difficult. So,
I think an easy way to remember what all of this is, you know, in addition to the force, fraud, and coercion, is this: slaves work unpaid, they are unable to leave, and they are held by violence or threat of violence or harm to themselves or someone they love. I think when you kind of put it simply like that, unpaid, can't leave, and threatened or harmed, it becomes a very clear picture. We're not seeing someone in chains out in a field or even in the city.
Absolutely. Kim, your thoughts on this?
One of the very first victims that I met, she was in her 20s, and she was pimp controlled. She tried to escape. She tried to leave. He took a wire hanger, and he beat her from the head to toe till she was cut literally sliced from head to toe, and then he shoved her in a bath of salt water till she was in excruciating pain. So she had no other choice, and he pretty much told her, if you try to leave again, I will kill you. So I just agree with you that we need to realize that when they are being beaten, when they are being tortured, you know, that is what this is all about. That is force, fraud, or coercion in that definition.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's almost the direct definition of that as well. I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, something as heinous as that, you know, beating somebody so badly and then thumping them into a, you know, salt water. That's torture. That is, you know, that is torture. And I think that's, you know, that's absolutely terrible, obviously. So, but those definitions, what really stuck out to me too was the forced labor. You know, in many cases, we're not thinking of, you know, a sex worker. We're thinking about, you know, is this you know, just, you know, what you were talking about before, Carol? You know, an agricultural sect or you know, anything, any forced servitude or debt bondage, as you said, Jordan. So.
They get mixed. You know, we tend to talk about them as labor and sex. But there was a high-profile case in Philadelphia. The perpetrators were convicted a couple of years ago, but it was a situation where cleaners from the Ukraine were being forced to clean some of the retail discount stores in the Philadelphia area, Target, Kmart, Walmart. And one of the ways that these cleaners were being held and forced to work is they threatened, in fact, I think they may have raped the 8-year-old daughter of one of the workers. Again, so, you know, we're getting into these, you know, or they threatened to throw wives into brothels in other cases.
So a lot of times, you know, in these labor, in the labor situations, you're seeing sex, you know, being used as a weapon.
Well, let's also look at what's been in the news is that you had in Ohio where those girls were kept for 10 years.
Yeah.
Literally kidnapped and kept for 10 years. Same thing. Same thing.
Yeah, with Ariel Castro, I believe his name was.
Exactly. So, you know, that was, it broke the surface of the water and exposed itself in that story. Of course, in news cycles, it lasts so long, and then after, it fades off in that. But, you know, I call these people that go after the young, these children, I call them predators. And a predator is a hunter. And maybe shed some light, because our listeners out there, where is this happening? Where are they recruiting? What is their hunting ground?
Cam, your thoughts?
One of the things that we have seen is that one of the great places where these guys, these predators, find people is through social media. So for anyone that is out there that is a parent, one of the key things that you need to do is become nosy. What I mean by that is if your child has a Facebook account, Facebook is huge for these predators. You need to know your children's passwords. You need to know their accounts. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, every type of social, the Vine. You need to have those passwords, and you need to check your children's phones. You need to check their accounts. You need to get in there. Because what these guys do is they portray, one of the very first victims I met, the guy who, the predator who came after her, he wooed her for 3 months as her boyfriend, promised her the world, and then he began to beat her and sell her. So these guys just don't walk up and say, hey, I'm a predator, I'm a trafficker, I'm a pimp. They put on their patient, and they're very smart. They know what they're doing. One of the girls that we worked with, her pimp, actually from the time he was a little boy, was trained how to be a pimp, trained how to be a trafficker. It was the family business. So we have to train and educate our girls and make sure that they know what trafficking is, what can happen, because these guys portray themselves as boyfriends. Yeah. And they're patient, and they wait for the right moment to come in and to take them away. Not only that, the malls. One of the great trafficking places predators are at the malls. And they're smart. They watch. They're not going to go after a girl who's in a big group of girls. Their heads are held high. They're laughing. They're giggling. They're having a great time. No, he wants the girl whose head is down, who's by herself, who looks insecure. He knows what to look for. And that's the girl he walks up and says, hey, you know what? You're beautiful. Can I get your number? And from then on out, he begins the process of wooing her.
You're bringing up a very good point, which I always looked at as a mall, which I always found a little very strange, is that, you know, being in the area that we are around Philadelphia here, we have a number of shopping malls, and probably the largest on the East Coast, King of Prussia, is one. Is that you see routinely on a Friday and Saturday night, mom drives up with her daughter, maybe a daughter and a friend. It's like, drop them off at the playground. I'll be back at 10 or 11 to pick you up, and the kids are wandering on their own and all that. And for me, once we started to research into this topic for this program, going, I've seen this. Is this not making and hanging the ripeness out there for the predator to attack, that you're just dumping your kid to play at the mall while you go off and do your thing?
I've worked over at the mall before, and you know, I see, like, you know, a pack of like 8 year olds, you know, guys and girls, but 8 year olds, you know, maybe five of them, six of them, walking around, no parental guidance or anything like that, and you know, I did it when I was a kid. You know, I got dropped off, and I was never, you know, thankfully I was never nobody ever followed me around, or at least that I know of. Nobody tried to be. I wasn't pray for anybody, but you know, this is happening, and then we have the statistics, so we know it's happening. And now we have our definitions, and we, you know, we use them to kind of distinguish what is happening here. And I think that's important to note, because, you know, is there any other places besides like a shopping mall, you know, that these are, and social media, I'm sure, is a huge one. You know, you said an important thing, Kim, and I think it's that to know your kids' passwords, you know.
Well, and know what they're posting on there, too, because we've seen a number of news reports of photographs being posted by these young individuals exposing different parts of themselves, which down the road, when they look for a job, comes back to haunt them. But yet, I mean, things such as that. Know what your children are doing on these things.
Wherever there's children without parental guidance is where you're going to find your predators. And you just need to educate your kids on this issue and say, hey, you know, if someone is telling you that you're beautiful and this and that, you know, that is true. You are beautiful. But just be cautious and
yes.
Don't go anywhere with them. Don't give them your phone number if you don't know who they are and things of that nature. And I mean, passwords, that would be nice to have your children's passwords, but I don't think that would go over so well. There is a lot of software out there where you can see everything that they're doing.
And if they're under 18, it's perfectly legal, and you're right as a parent to do that.
Well, Jordan's also coming up with something as a young kid, even in my day, that was told is never talk to strangers.
Yeah.
And always check in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're gonna go ahead to a quick commercial break. But when we get back, we'll kind of, you know, certainly this discussion isn't finished. But for today, for us, and the prevalence of time, it will be done. So we'll come back right after this. So stay with us. Welcome back to It's a New Day, and we are just about over with our program today. But certainly the issue in the war is going to rage on. You know, I've got four people here that are extremely passionate, and I hope that the rest of us now can take over and help with the struggle of human trafficking. And we're going to kind of go through a little bit of closing arguments and things that, you know, we want to be left with here in the last segment. So I do have Jen Sensing back on the line with us. Jen, welcome back.
Hi there again.
thank you for being able to call back for us. Now, Jen, just in maybe like 2 minutes, what is something that you want the general public to know? What is it that we can have, you know, people be left with? What do you want people to know?
It's funny because I actually just got done writing my email here to Susan for having me be on the show today. And in writing it to her, the one thing that always strikes me, I think, at the end of having these opportunities is the audience that listens to us and hears about this. The thought that always goes through my mind is none of the people who have heard this morning can now say, I don't know, or I didn't know about this issue. And so with that, the question to me that comes is, what do you do with that? You can't leave this two-hour segment going, I didn't know about this issue, about these victims, about you know, the different dilemmas that we're facing with trafficking. And so I think the question I have for the viewers today is, what are you going to do? You've gotten to hear many people from different segments who are doing something with trafficking. And each one of us has taken our platforms, our life experiences, our passions, engaged with this issue. And so every single person who's out there today has the same ability to be able to take this issue and now engage with it. And so my question, I think, is what is this audience going to take and do with this? Because you can't say, I didn't know.
Absolutely. And I think with the rest of us, you know, here, I'm going to allow Kim to say her, you know, her final piece. So thank you very much, Jen, by the way, for coming back on.
Thank you.
Kim, your thoughts?
I just want to mimic what Jen said. What do we do now? There's lots of local coalitions. There's lots of community meetings that are going on. Really search the website. Become a part of that. If you're in the Lehigh Valley, you want to go to one of the vast coalition meetings. Also, there is many organizations all over in our area that are taking this initiative and are doing good works in it. You need to become a part of that. Just like Jen said, you are now cannot say, I did not know. So now you're responsible to become a part of this task force. You become a part of stopping this. You need to become educated. If you are in a church, you need to get a training within your church or a film screening. There are great films out there that you can have, like Sex and Money. Great way to begin to open the door for your community to have a better understanding. Invite speakers to come in. If you are part of a community group, invite a speaker to come in to be able to talk about sex trafficking, to talk about human trafficking. Together as a community, if we partner as one, we can put an end to this trafficking issue. More than that, we can come together and we can become providers, we can love, and we can help bring healing to the victims who are a part of this tragedy.
Absolutely. Carol, your thoughts?
Absolutely. Learn more about what you can do to actually take action. One of the things that people can do, in addition to what Kim and Jen have already suggested, I invite you, please join us in Chester County at a program called Fighting the Monster. It's on June 18th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It has a number of solutions that we will be posing that every ordinary person can do. You don't have to be a saint, a world traveler, or a millionaire to fight this, but learn what you can do. Participate in a fire drill that we're going to have that will actually teach you step by step what you see, what those indicators are that you might spot, and then what do you do afterwards. So again, that's Fighting the Monster, June 18th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Chester County Historical Society in Westchester.
Perfect. Thank you, Carol. And Jordan, we'll finish it off with you. What do you want to leave people with?
Well, next time you're at a truck stop, or if you pass a massage parlor, or you go to a hotel, or you're getting your nails done at the nail salon, ask yourself some questions. Are these people at the nail salon, are they working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week? Do they leave in a van? You know, do they seem to be controlled? Do they kind of withdraw when I ask them certain questions? You know, are they able to go around the town? Like, are they able to leave on their own? Just start asking yourself some questions. If you suspect human trafficking, call the hotline number, no matter how big or small, 1-888-373-7888. That, again, is 1-888-373-7888. They made it like that so it's easy to memorize. There's so many different things that you can do within these different coalitions. I'm from Berks County. The Berks County Coalition Against Human Trafficking is meeting Tuesday the 20th, I think it's Tuesday, at the Exeter Township Library, and you can find out more information about the coalition and about my organization free at freefromht.org. That, again, is www.freefromht.org. And our Facebook is facebook.com/freenslaved.
Okay.
And you can find out information about us there, too. So just ask yourself questions at these different locations, and if you suspect human trafficking, call the hotline.
I think that's a big one too, is you know, the community as a whole needs to come together and report things like this. Because you said, you know, one call, Jordan, I think you mentioned earlier, one call may not do it, but 20 calls, they have to. You know, they have to do something at that point. So as a community, it's small drops into a larger pond. And I want to mention also that, Carol, you have a book called Facing the Monster, How One Person Can Fight Slavery. Also, you know, we have, you know, Kim, your organization, Truth for Women, and My Sister's Closet, which is a direct contributor to Truth for Women. Obviously, Jordan, as you said, freedom from restoration, freedom and restoration for everyone enslaved. An organization that's helping people in Berks County. And we were unable to have Debbie Wright on the show this morning, but she is the producer of a film, From Liberty to Captivity, a groundbreaking documentary on human trafficking industry in Pennsylvania. We had her on a couple of weeks ago, which kind of inspired us to do this today, and which is what the song that we've been playing all day, Be Brave, is a song I believe that was written by her for the film. So we'll play you out with that. But I want to thank all of our guests today. Jen Sensing from North Star Initiative, for calling in and being able to talk to us. Kim Chekai, the president for Truth for Women and My Sister's Closet. Jordan Curlin, from Free Freedom and Restoration for Everyone Enslaved. And Carol Metzger, author of Facing the Monster, How One Person Can Change, can Fight Slavery. And you know, you can one more time, guys, any websites or phone numbers? I know the phone number for the hotline is 1-888-3737-888, and you can text help or info to 233-733. Unable to do that, so
if parents want that software that I was talking about, they can go to our website and find it at the last page, I think.
Perfect. So thank you once again, everybody, for coming in today and being able to talk to us. But we are out of time, and we're gonna leave you now. But please don't forget, you know, all of the things that we talked about here today on the program. So stay with us, and as always, stay informed.